B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I don't like throwing to the same spot right there, though. You can throw a fastball. You better get it on the corner right here.
He did. 95 and a high fly ball deep left field and gone. Springer launching one. A three-run shot to put Toronto in front 9-8.
Hour number two here, Felger and Maz. Mike is out today. Jim Murray is alongside. Fifth horseman of the apocalypse, Adam Jones, here to give us headlines. What are they? It's like pestilence, famine, disease.
Jones.
Exactly. Yeah, that is.
Right.
He is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, I knew where you were going.
I don't know which one you'd replace. I got to look up and see who the other one is.
Let's get pestilence. What's pestilence? Get that
pestilence,
out of there.
Pestilence, disease, yeah. Jones.
Pestilence, isn't that the bugs?
Oh, pests. That makes sense.
That is right.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, 617-779-0985. I wasn't here yesterday. This game on Sunday for the Red Sox, I'll tell you what. I have seen some absolute crap bag meltdowns of guys completely dumping in their pants on the mound with the Red Sox. Many of them have happened on the field at Yankee Stadium, which is partly understandable because the crowd's a factor there. It's always been, Murray, how many times have I said, the toughest place in baseball to get the final six outs, particularly late in the year. September and October, big games in New York, forget it. Toronto. And look, that place can get rocking too, and the Blue Jays are a fun team.
And they're finally back home. Maybe they're why there was a little bit more buzz there.
Okay, well, the Blue Jays are a fun team with a good lineup, and maybe the crowd wants a little bit of a factor. I'll allow for that.
They're not in Buffalo anymore.
Yeah, they've been homeless for a while.
Or Dunedin or wherever they've been, yeah.
What a meltdown. What a complete, total, freaking meltdown that was on Sunday. Sawamura crapped his pants. Do you realize that in the eighth inning? And I know there may have been injury in there. I'm sorry. He didn't throw a strike. He did not throw a strike.
Right.
Let alone wild pitches. And then the Ottavino appearance was just as embarrassing. All due respect, Jones. I know you went to college together.
Yeah. I don't like to pile on, but he's not been good lately.
Okay. So, but the big issue with Ottavino, and this part is on the Red Sox, he's one of the easiest guys in baseball to run against and always has been. The Blue Jays were running at will. They couldn't run fast enough when they got to first base, to the point where Ottavino was so preoccupied with it. Was it him or Sawamura that chucked the ball away? I think it was Ottavino.
Yeah, right into the backstop?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays ran into two outs in the inning. Otherwise, the Red Sox don't even get out of that inning at all. The whole thing was a freaking disaster. So there's a lot of problems I have with what's going on with the Red Sox at the moment. The trading deadline is obvious, and we'll still take your calls on it. Management and ownership should be ashamed of themselves for not going over the deadline, the luxury tax at the deadline. What a disgrace. This is Boston, for crying out loud. It's not Tampa, where you can trade away your closer and one of the guys in your rotation at the trading deadline when you're fighting for a division and nobody gives a rat's ass because they don't go to the games and they don't watch the games. Not that they do here anymore either.
I was going to say, that's not that different than here, yeah.
Okay, but the people who do care here do get agitated when things go wrong. The people who care in Tampa, all three of them, don't care.
Right, Dick Vitale.
So what a complete meltdown that game was. And you should be pissed at ownership. And you should be pissed at management, too. In the same breath, and I know Shaughnessy wrote about this today, where he said, well, this was a matter of time. This team's not that good. Mm-hmm. This is all the reason why you had to add. This is the whole point. You played yourself in it with a team that played over its head. You needed to add parts to it. You needed to add pieces and give them a little support, because asking them to do it for 162.
Far too convenient, by the way, for people to now start saying that. This really started to piss me off after the Friday loss, the opener in Toronto, where, well, you know, the regression was coming. We all saw it. Where were you people 2 months ago?
Right.
Where were these phone calls? Where were these tweets? Oh, so you never believed? You didn't want them to add then? That's a crock. Like, these people now trying to defend Chaim Bloom and upper management for why they didn't add. Well, we all saw it coming. No, you didn't.
Well, and you know who definitely didn't? The team's dumb Twitter account. They didn't see it coming. They were bragging and thumping their chest. And, oh, we remember what you were saying back in April. Remember those tweets? Now they're comparing themselves to sandpaper or whatever it is, the stupid Twitter account. But, like, even if some fans are trying to say it, the team can't turn around and say it. They thought they were good. They thought they were good. At least the, you know, intern running the social media account.
So this team was abandoned at the deadline. Okay, they were. They were abandoned at the deadline. But I touched on this at the end of last week, and Murray, I think you'll remember it. At some point, you look at it and go, are you guys just soft?
Right, grow up.
Yeah, at some point you do have to wake up. And I was talking with Ted about this, and even before you were, you know, you went away there, man. It's like, you know, I'll grant them that weekend in Tampa, you shouldn't have got swept. But, you know, if you want to be, you know, butthurt about it, that the organization didn't believe in you and didn't add really anything, like, I'll give you that one. You'll get 3 or 4 days. By the time you got to Detroit, you got to get over it. Stop wallowing.
Oh, totally.
And that was the message we talked about it at the time of that baseball hour. That was the message from Alex Cora after they lost that series in Detroit, that final game, the getaway game. He was pissed, and rightfully so. Like, guys, get your heads out of your asses.
And then they got annihilated the first game in Toronto. Okay, they completely got annihilated, but there was just an avalanche with all those runs. I think what did the Blue Jays get? Seven runs, I
think it was.
Okay, yeah, the game was like 13 to 12 to 4 or something.
Yeah.
I thought they got 7 in one inning, or at least when I looked up, it was, you know, 2 to 2. The next thing I know, it was 7 to 2.
No, I'm pretty positive that was a 9-run inning.
Okay, so and I'll take your word for it, Murray. I mean, it was like I looked up and went, holy crap, talk about an implosion. And this is what has happened to the resolve of this team. You can see it. That when they start to get pushed, now they crack. Early in the year, it was the opposite.
Yeah, they hadn't gone through any resistance yet. They hadn't really, outside of starting 0-3, I mean, how bad had it been? Now it's gone bad, and they can't handle it.
So this is how brittle it was, and I admit, it was brittle. It was brittle. They were a brittle team. They were winning close games, come-from-behind games, and you would look at it and say, logically, this is not sustainable. It's not something you can do over a long period of time. Fine. But they kept on doing it. It didn't happen for 6 weeks. It happened for 3 months. 3 months where they kept playing their asses off and coming back. And had the organization, I can totally see how the players reacted the way they did. Where they said, we busted our asses, you did nothing. They were completely broken by it. And that bugs me too. So as much as I want to put this on ownership and management, and ultimately I do, I also look at the players and say, oh, my God, enough. Would you grow some balls? And I thought in the middle of that Toronto series, they started to come out of it. That second win in Toronto was a good win. Barrios is pitching that game. That was another. The first game, they lost 1-0. The second game, they won 2-1.
Well, that's after they got bombarded the other night. That was the third game of the series, right, that they won?
The 2-1 game.
I meant the two in the middle.
Yeah, the two in the middle. I see, yep.
Okay, so the doubleheader on Saturday, both of those were good games. And after they lost the first one, I thought they're going to crack. And they came out and won the second one. I said, okay, well, here you go. Maybe they're turning the corner. Maybe they're going to wake up. Maybe they're coming out of it.
And then they're up big on Sunday.
And the bullpen completely craps its pants. And these are veteran guys. Salamura has been around a long time, and I'll allow for the injury. But that was garbage. He couldn't even find the plate. It was pathetic chucking the ball into the ground. Ottavino gets out there, and he was a puddle. He ended up getting out of the seventh, but then Cora couldn't go to Barnes quick enough in the eighth inning. And then Barnes, again, a game-winning homer, second day in a row. Your closer, who you just signed an extension.
That thing was a bomb.
It was a smash. And you know what? It was like a mile and a half to 2 miles an hour slower than the previous fastball. So I looked at that and said, well, what the hell happened there? How was it that you were able to throw 97 on one pitch and blow it by him? And then, I think it was a 3-2 pitch, if I remember right. All of a sudden, you're just aiming it? You got tight and you left it in the middle of the plate so it didn't have the same sort of jump or what? I think he got tight. It was a complete breakdown. Complete breakdown. And if you want to mock this team, you want to mock ownership and upper management, you want to mock the players, mock away. Because that is a complete collapse. How does a team that shows that kind of balls in the first half, and they did, they showed balls every night. How are you so brittle that you completely crack the way you did? Not just crack, implode against the Blue Jays.
How many comeback wins was it?
33 out of 62 that they trailed at one point.
No, not fluky at all. Not lucky at all.
I mean, what a freaking implosion. Like, that's embarrassing, too.
So you don't want Jim's nail in the coffin? You know, you don't want that? He's got an extra one, he said.
No, so I want to get to that. So, Murray, thank you for bringing that up, Pac, man. Now that I think of it. Murray, you think they're done?
Oh, yeah, I'm out. Yeah, I've said it. I said it after Friday, Maz, but now after Sunday and that thing being up 8-4, that pig F of a game and the way they lose that, oh, no, I grabbed the life raft. I have jumped off the sinking ship. I'll see you all in hell. I'm off. I'm out. And shame on me for buying into them for after this two-year hiatus where I said, nope, I'm out. This team stinks. The organization blows. I can't stand ownership. But then, oh, holy crap, the Red Sox actually have something going here. Grit and balls, and they're actually playing baseball the way that I remember it. It's not the three true outcomes. What a fun little team. Turns out it was all fake. A mirage. Poof. It's gone just like that. Yeah, Maz, this team, at the very least, they are not winning the division. They'll be lucky to make the playoffs at this point, but they ain't win the AL East. No shot.
Jones, you think they're done?
I think the division is done. I would agree with Murray. I don't think they're done in the wild card, but I'll be rooting against them making it for sure. Yes.
So now that part, I'm with Jones. Yeah. That's what I mean by
I'll be rooting against them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they're done yet. I don't. And I'll tell you why when we come back on Fogram House.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Please, Maz. What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
At the pitch before Springer, he'd swung through a fastball. Yep. Were you trying to throw the same pitch, change the location a little bit, or what happened there?
So yesterday I threw a bunch of really good curveballs to him and he chased down with me. The 0-0 curveball to him that he put a decent swing on it. I know he fouled it off, but it looked like he was at least somewhat on time with that pitch. I fell behind 2-1, threw a good fastball, 2-1 that he swung and missed with. And just playing off of the at-bat yesterday and how he took that swing, in my mind, I didn't think that he thought I was coming back with another fastball. I thought for sure he was going to sit on a breaking ball, and I was trying to – I mean, it leaked middle. Just plain and simple, the ball leaked middle and he put a good swing on it. But we were trying to execute a fastball way there to him.
Threw it right down the pipe. Right down the pipe.
Leaked a little.
And so I'll tell you what, I think Murray will vouch for me on this. When the whole spider tech thing happened and they took the adhesives out of the game, we all focused on Garrett Richards, who was a complete mental case, and then the rotation started to go bad, and we started posting rotation numbers. Murray, do you remember what I said?
Keep an eye on Barnes.
I said, watch Matt Barnes. Keep an eye on Barnes. Barnes is having a year like I've never seen before. I didn't think Barnes was anywhere near that good, and he had an otherworldly first half to the point where he made the All-Star team and, frankly, deserved it. But all of a sudden, his fastball through the strike zone was absolutely blowing through there like I'd never seen before. And much was made of, oh, first pitch strikes, he's throwing his fastball more, he's attacking hitters, blah, 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 blah. So I looked it up. And the line of demarcation with Matt Barnes is June 6th.
Huh.
June 4th is when the news came out that baseball was going to start taking the adhesives out of the game. And I'll get to your phone calls here in a minute. But, Matt Barnes wasn't doing anything illegal up to that point in time. Baseball wasn't cracking down on it. I long questioned what Matt Barnes really was. And this year, he went to a level that I had not foreseen. Then they took the spider tack out of the game and all the other adhesives. And now, all of a sudden, Matt Barnes looks more like he did really the majority of his career. So I put this on our website yesterday. Barnes' save percentage through June 5th was 933. Excellent. Excellent, excellent number. You get into the 90s, that's ridiculous. He was 14 of 15. Starting on June 6th, 714. It's dropped over 200 points. He's blown four saves in the last month and a half. 2 months, I guess, right? Two months.
That doesn't include a game like Saturday where it's 0-0 when he gives up the walk-off homer.
Correct. Right. That's correct. Good one. That's right. Good job, Pac-Man. His ERA has gone up more than a half a run. And again, his numbers don't suck. Okay? So let me make that clear. I'm just telling you that what he did in the first half was an aberration. And then all of a sudden they take the spider tack out, and now Matt Barnes is being back to being what he was. How about the strikeouts per nine? Did you guys see this?
No.
No.
Leading up to up until June 5th, Matt Barnes was striking out 16 batters per nine innings. 16. It's now down to 11. Okay, 11.25.
Which, again, is still good, but not otherworldly. Yeah.
No, right. Again, so he just, what he did in the first half was he jumped to a level that we had never seen before.
It was Mariano Rivera-esque what he was doing.
Yes, and also the walks went down in the first half. He walked under two guys per nine innings. Now he's back up over three again. And so Barnes, over the course of his career, has always been a guy that would walk three or four batters per nine innings. I mean, he's just not a pinpoint guy. So what happened in the first half? His stuff got better, and in the strike zone, guys couldn't hit it anymore. He gave up two home runs through June 5th. Two. He's given up four since. So I just think that you're going to look for spider tack guys around the league. Matt Barnes is one of them. Okay, and again, I'm not telling you he's a bum. He's a good, he's a pretty good big league pitcher. I've always thought he was a seventh inning guy. He's proven he can probably be an eighth inning guy. I've never thought he was a closer, just the way I don't think Ottavino's a closer. And the ultimate takeaway for me is this. If the Red Sox knew it, that he was a spider tack guy, how do they not go get bullpen help at the deadline?
Yeah, and why'd they extend him on top of it?
Well, what are you talking about, though, that they did? They got Hansel Robles this other arsonist whose name I don't know, nor should I.
Yeah,
they did get bullpen help.
Austin something, isn't it? He's a lefty.
Davis,
sure.
Yeah, maybe. But really, think of that. Your closer is a spider tech guy or an adhesive guy. He's still good, but you don't get any bullpen help at the deadline. You knew that too, and I have to believe they knew it. Don't we all?
Yeah, of course.
You think there was any chance he was doing it and they didn't know it?
Those dweebs had the spin rate ready to go. The second they were breaking it all down week by week, game by game.
Of course they knew it. Of course they did.
In the same way that the 2007 Red Sox under Theo Epstein had questions about Eric Gagne being a steroid guy, and they still went and acquired him. They still added him, even though they knew that he was a steroid guy.
But I'll tell you what, Jimmy.
All this stuff happens in the game, and these teams are taking chances that the players will adjust. Matt Barnes hasn't adjusted.
Okay, but at least in the case of Gagne, the Red Sox looked at it and were trying to add something to the team. In this case, Barnes' performance was probably going to get worse, and they still didn't add anything.
All right, so you think Barnes is a cheat and fraud, the team's a dumpster fire, yet you still believe in them? Make your case.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Good job, make a case. Tony. Yeah.
Okay. I'm holding out the small chance that Chris Sale's actually decent. And that if he ever gets on the field, Schwarber can help them a little. So, and honestly, if there were a month left, I'd say forget it, it's over. It's 48 games to go.
And 10 against Tampa, and that's usually the counter-argument too. You still got 10 against Tampa, and then, you know, three of them starting tonight, but seven of those 10 are at the Trop. I think they're a markedly better team than you. They actually added someone real to their lineup, and I don't know, like maybe it's a residual PTSD thing for me, Maz, but the way this looks, it's so end of 2011 and it's so pre-2004 in success with the Red Sox. And it reminds me so much of what I grew up watching that I look at him like, oh, I've lived this. I know this. I'm not going through it again. You're dead to me. And they look like they're a dead team walking.
Oh, they do. And Murray, to your point, nobody. What's your line, Murray? Nobody what?
Oh, nobody gets in the way of the Red Sox like the Red Sox.
You're absolutely right. Nobody gets in the way of the Red Sox like the Red Sox. We have identified the enemy, and he is us. That is the team motto, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I threw out this stat yesterday, and I think it's the only Sox stat you need right now with this team. Do you know they're the team with the worst winning percentage in the American League East since the 5th of July?
I'm not surprised.
It's not the Orioles, it's them.
Yeah, they've played bad baseball. I thought the week going into the All-Star break was really bad. And I thought we would look back, if they blow this thing, and they may have already blown it, that we would look back at July, and that would be the month we said where it all came apart. Because and it started at that All-Star break. They played poorly the week going in, and then they came out and played badly in New York coming out, if you remember. They had and the Yankees were decimated by COVID coming out of that. Remember, they postponed the first game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Walter's in Nashville. Go ahead, Walter, quickly. No, Walter?
You're absolutely.
Oh, go, yes. Quickly. Yep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It starts at the top. I mean, this is Boston, for God's sake. We need to be competitive. And let me be frank. John Henry is a creep. He's a very odd gentleman who's preoccupied with his soccer team across the pond. And I think the only way we can improve this team, we need to get Henry on a hot mic saying something provocative a la Donald Starling with the Clippers and force him to sell the team.
Okay, so Walter, look, the fact that he's a creep, I mean, most people believe that from the time he got here. So it's not like that part of it is new. Now, the interest, the focus being gone, that is not on the team anymore, that part I agree with. And ownership, for not going over the luxury tax, ownership should be taking a beating, and they are.
I know you were thinking of what I was thinking, Jones. Was that guy doing a bad Sean Connery?
That's what I thought. It was a Sean Connery. That was exactly
someone
what it
has
was.
To, someone has to catch John Henry on a hot mic. They call the dog Indiana. That was a bit.
Yeah. Indiana?
You're the man now,
that was
dog.
The dog's name.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. Welcome to the Rock.
But you know what? I don't want to leave High and Bloom out of this either, because he said something at the end of last week that sent me into orbit.
Just like John Henry to bring a knife to a gunfight.
So, I don't know, maybe Jones will do a Sean Connery for you here in the headlines, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what Chaim Bloom said last week about the Red Sox maneuverings at the trade deadline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
You know, we got some of them. We're not going to get every single one that changes hands, but I don't want to sell short what we brought in. You know, I think if you had looked out and take your eyes off what the other teams are doing, because I think you're always best served thinking about yourself and what you need and what we're trying to accomplish here. And you say we got a bat who I think is... I don't know that there's a bat that changed hands the last couple weeks that I would take ahead of Kyle Schwarber, especially given our lineup and how much a left-handed bat brings balance to our lineup. Now, look, he's not healthy right now. That's not ideal, but he should be back pretty soon. And when he is, I think he's going to be as impactful as any hitter that changed hands. On top of which, I think given the work the bullpen has done and how much we put on them to get them some reinforcements, was really helpful. So I do think we brought in help. We were in first place on that day, and we added.
Something about the way he says that at the end, we were in first place that day, and we added, really bugs me.
Oh, there was something else about that comment that bugged me.
I know. I know what that is too, Murray. But I don't feel like the last part has gotten a lot of attention. We were in first place, and we added. He says it like it's a surprise. Well, I would hope so. I mean, if you're in first place, you're looking to reinforce. Like, I would understand it more if the Yankees didn't add. They were way back there.
They seemed like they were dead in the water.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem when you come from Tampa. He's like, oh, yeah, well, we're in first place and we added something. Like, look at what Tampa had to do. You suggested it earlier, Maz, or alluded to it earlier. They acquired Nelson Cruz, but they had to get rid of Rich Hill. they had to get rid of relievers. You said their closer? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, they traded their closer, yeah.
So, like, you know, in Tampa, you got to do stuff like that. Chaim Bloom's like, oh, I'm not acting like I'm in Tampa anymore. We added. Well, kind of. You added a hurt guy and a bunch of bum relievers. That's not really adding in Boston. Like, sorry, that's not really adding.
I mean, what first-place teams in the American League didn't add?
good question. What first-place teams in baseball didn't add?
Houston added. White Sox added.
Houston, Chicago. Tampa, in a way.
Giants added.
San Francisco Giants, which
Giants added.
The National League version of the Red Sox this year. They added Chris Bryant.
Yeah, the Mets were leading their division, right? They added.
Yep.
I mean, the idea, we were in first place, we added.
The Brewers do anything? Maybe not. I don't know who's winning that division.
I would hope so. Just about every team.
Yeah. You're in first place, right? You should be adding. Yeah.
So, Murray, what's the part that bugged you?
Oh, where he acts like Obi Nerd Kenobi and is like, oh, these aren't the bats you're looking for. Don't look at the other teams. So I'm not supposed to pay attention to Nelson Cruz going to Tampa or Rizzo going to the Yankees or, again, Chris Bryant going to the Giants. You think you got the best bat in a hurt Kyle Schwarber who hurt himself again yesterday? Now it's a groin, too? So take your eyes off the other teams. No! What are you trying? Don't try to play Jedi mind tricks with me, nerd. Like... No, I'm looking at the whole big picture here, and this is why it's so frustrating. Again, you should have been in play for Rizzo. I think we got the best bat available. Wrong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and so that's a part of it, too, is he hasn't been on the field. He hasn't been on the field. So you've got 58 games to go at the deadline. You've already played 10 of them, and you haven't had any impact yet. And he's not playing in this series, no. I don't think.
No.
No.
So
he worked out today. We'll see how he responds to it. He's working out again tomorrow. I mean, Cora said that today. So then what? Then you do a rehab stint? If he's going to play first base, how long's that rehab stint?
Well, so this is my point. Unless they do something we're not expecting, Pac-Man. In other words, what if they activate him tomorrow and he plays? Okay, which I never rule out when a team gets desperate, and they're desperate right now. Because the bottom line is, whether Kyle Schwarber plays two games in the minor leagues or not, he's going to suck at first base.
That's true.
Now, the timing at the plate, maybe, but if I'm desperate enough, I don't know. Who would you rather have in the lineup, Kyle Schwarber without any reps or Bobby Dalbec?
You mentioned this, I believe, in our email chain. They don't seem all that desperate with Chris Sale. Like,
so that's another thing, which, again, I do want to take a couple of calls.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, but...
I agree.
But that would be if they're gonna treat Schwarber like they're treating Sale. They've been in no rush to get him back. He got, in my opinion, an extra start in AAA. Like... He should have been back for that last start in the big leagues, and they didn't do that. So if they're gonna be consistent, I'd imagine they're gonna take it slow with Schwarber.
They're just putting no urgency at all on this season, none, zero. And if I'm a guy wearing that uniform, I'm insulted. Skip some Watertown. Go ahead, Skip.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I completely agree with the Kyle Schwarber take on him going to suck at first base. I actually don't even think he's going to end up playing first base at all, especially after hearing yesterday's groin tightness. I mean, playing first base, you've got to stretch a lot. It's not as a standstill of a position as people think. I don't see it happening. And another reason why I don't like that move for the Red Sox is because if he's not playing first base, you didn't make the move to just sit him on the bench. So he's either going to DH, which makes JD go in the outfield more, which I think we all know what happens when he plays in the outfield more often. He's bound to get hurt. It happens every single time. I think the Kyle Schwarber move was an absolute waste. You wasted a move on, I think we all agree, on what could have been Rizzo on somebody who wasn't hurt. And I'll hang up and hear your thoughts, but I don't see Kyle Schwarber playing first base at all for the Red Sox.
Skip, Schwarber was never a fit.
And when he does, it's just going to be an injury waiting to happen.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, right. I tell you, again, he's already got groin tightness.
Trying to dig one out of the dirt. that's what's going to end up happening.
He doesn't look like the most fit guy in the world anyway.
No.
So, but he was never a fit for the roster. He was never a fit for the roster. He's not a first baseman.
Right.
So now you're shoehorning him in there just to get his bat in the lineup. You're going to give up something else.
I had no issue with adding him. Like, I don't care. They gave up whoever the prospect was. I don't care. I have an issue with only adding him. You know what I mean? Like, if they added him in addition to something else, great. But the fact that that was it, unless you count these crappy bullpen arms, that's where I have an issue.
Yeah, they could have added Rizzo, though, Pac-Man. That's why you got to look at it that
way. They could have added both.
Okay. So, but they didn't need both. They could have added Rizzo for the position and actually gotten a first baseman. They could have done that. And I know Rizzo's on the COVID list now. I don't care. They've gone 8-2 since the deadline, in part because Rizzo completely sparked that team. But again, when you get into analytics, they don't believe in the spark. They don't believe in that. They go purely by the long-term math, which irritates the crap out of me. The deadline is about a short-term jolt, and it can make a difference. It's already made a difference for all the other teams in the division.
Also proves that they didn't factor in, again, just like how they don't factor in, you know, how players react and emotion. Like, those things don't exist to the guys that just look at the ones and zeros. Like, by not adding to this team, they didn't think that they would get the reaction. They didn't understand that they would get the reaction that the team would give them after that tepid deadline. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. They just don't understand feelings and emotion and things that go into playing professional sports.
Right. There was nothing in their computer program that told them they had a bunch of babies in their clubhouse.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that was that wasn't anywhere to be found in any of their systems or Carmine or whatever, that they have a bunch of whiny babies in their clubhouse. And so now they're acting like children and, you know, they're moping around. Because I agree. I think that's a real thing that they should have budgeted for, but I don't want to let the players off the hook. Like, they deserve blame for still moping around about it.
They do. Absolutely, they do. But you know what? When you run a computer program, you don't have to factor in emotion.
Right.
And you don't have to factor in the fragile psyche or otherwise of the players in your clubhouse. And unfortunately, in the real world, it is an issue. It is an issue. And I don't like the way the players have responded either. But in the same breath, you don't have much of a grasp on your team or on who's playing on the field if you don't understand what the deadline can do to the psyche of a team. Wayne's in Yarmouth quickly, because something I want to get to. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, number one, Murray and the boys did a great job yesterday under some pretty tough circumstances. I think you probably know that. What a good job they did.
Thanks, Wayne.
Sale, as an answer, is a lark. He's been good in the rehab cycle, but for God's sake, he's been pitching to minor leaguers, and he's still frail. You just look at him. He's not healthy across the board, and he's going to have to spend some time building himself up while he's still pitching in the middle of the end of this season with the Sox. I just don't think he's ready, and I don't think he's an answer.
Okay, so look, Wayne, I think it's a lot to put on a guy, and I have my doubts too. You're not wrong to feel that way. I'll tell you what my big issue is with how they've handled Sale when we come back. Murray, quickly, the difficult circumstances, you're talking about the fire alarms?
Yes, there was a frightening evacuation siren that went off for pretty much the duration of the show down at Gillette Stadium yesterday. So, yeah, that was a giant pain in the ass.
Were you guys down at Gillette?
Yeah.
They were, yeah. I wasn't on yesterday. Yeah, they were.
McCarthy
down
was back here. Ted Johnson and I were down at Gillette. And for pretty much the duration of the show.
Oh, I didn't realize you were down at Gillette yesterday. I thought that was going on here.
No, that was down the stadium.
Oh, I definitely picked a good day to be off.
Oh, yeah. I said at one point, I'm like, wow. I can't imagine how Mike would have reacted to this.
I mean, the sirens would have been bad enough, but if I had to drag my ass all the way down to Gillette and go through that?
Seriously.
Tip of the cap. Tip of the cap, Murray. Very professional of you.
A pro's pro right here.
When we come back, I'll tell you what my irritation is with how the Red Sox have handled Chris Sale. We'll do that right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Oh, no, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back here on Felger and Mass. Before we get to your calls, let me tell you what's bugging me about the Chris Sale thing. So, again, you're a team that is now playing for your life. You're 3-10 in the last 13, 2-8 since the deadline. You had a horrible road trip. Chris Sale pitched Saturday, and he threw 89 pitches, I think it was. Did I see that right? 89?
Something like that. High 80s.
It was right around 90, I know that, you know, give or take. So 89 pitches. And Pac-Man, you are right to say Boy, they kept him for an extra start down there.
Well, I'll admit, I got that right from you. One of the last times I was in and Sale was starting a rehab assignment, you're like, you know, you want to get, the goal would be to get him to like 80 pitches and then fire your bullets in the big leagues. Like, throw 90 in your first start and then build from there. Don't waste him in AAA. I heard you say that, and that's honestly where I got that from.
Okay, so I thought, just do the math. Initially, I thought he would pitch over the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, and in all probability, I thought it was going to be Saturday for this reason, that if he pitched Saturday, he'd be able to pitch the finale of the Tampa series. So he would miss Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 days of rest, take his regular turn on full rest, and pitch against Tampa Bay. But no, they're holding him out for Baltimore on Saturday, which I think means there's a chance he will also miss the Yankee series on the other side of it.
That is correct. Yeah, the way this lines up right now, he'll pitch against the Orioles and the Rangers. And so, I don't know, you want to call it a hot take, go nuts, but like, how confident are they in him? If you pitch him Thursday, you have him go against the Rays, and you also get him against the Yankees next week. Isn't that where you're supposed to get out of an ace? Instead, you have him go Saturday against Baltimore?
And so, Murray, you couldn't be more right. And again, I just did the math. I always get the math confused when I start doing days of the week.
Well, that's this show.
Okay. So he'll miss the Yankee series. He'll definitively miss the Yankee series. So now he's not going to face either one. I thought the way they were setting up the whole plan was, no, we'll drop him in against Tampa, and then he gets New York the next turn. Now he misses both.
Yeah, he's basically making two more minor league starts is what he's doing against Baltimore and Texas.
So what are you doing?
Two bum-ass teams, yeah.
Again, what's...
I'm glad we're on the same mindset on this, because this was like, because if you look at this, if you really had confidence in him and he's going to be the savior, and I hope that he is, I really would like, because, you know, he's a great story, he's a ballsy player, all of that, and they certainly need help with that rotation. But if you truly believe in him, he's ready to go, start him Thursday in the series finale against Tampa, and then you get him going against the Yankees, who are now, you know, sniffing around you. And now we're problematic in the American League East. You have them go against them next week. Tampa, Yankees, these are the teams you got to care about, not Baltimore and Texas.
They punted on this season. They have. They've punted
they
on
really
it.
Have.
They've punted on it.
That nail's still available for you.
I mean, it's insulting. It is.
Yeah, you're the one holding out hope here.
So look, the only thing I'm telling you is that what if Sale comes back and actually is half decent?
Against Baltimore.
Doesn't matter. You're just going to get wins. What if he's half decent and then Schwarber hits?
Well, then maybe you just answered your question. Maybe that's how they're looking at it. You just got to get wins. We feel better getting them against Baltimore than against Tampa and New York.
So the big reason I'm not totally quitting yet, and I'm not burying them yet, 48 to go. Still a lot of games.
See, I look at that as a bad thing for them.
It can turn fast, Jones.
They want like 20 games left. 48, that's a long way for them to go.
Yeah,
they needed a 100-game season, not 162.
Yeah, but now they're five back. You can't do that in 20 games if you're them. Can't do it. 48? And the other thing is, the Yankees are no great shakes either.
Forget first place. I'm talking about holding on to the wild card. That's like too long to hold on to the wild card.
Okay, so for that one, you might be right. That one, they might fall out of the wild card. You know, Murray, I said not too long ago, if you remember, they're not going to miss the playoffs. They're going to make it. They're too good.
Yep.
I take it back. I think there's a chance they're going to miss the playoffs completely, which really will go largely on ownership and upper management.
Are you with Jones and I, though, that like the divisions, forget about that?
No.
Crazy on that
I'm not
one.
There yet either, again. No.
Forget about the division.
See, the only thing I'd say about the division is I don't like fully believe in Tampa either, but yeah, they're done.
I think they have a better chance of finishing fourth in the division than actually winning it at this point.
I'll tell you who I would bet on at this stage.
Toronto?
It's Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would bet on Toronto. Matt's in Quincy. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to talk. I don't know. I didn't think people kind of going crazy saying the Red Sox should have did more at the deadline aren't really watching the Red Sox at all this year, because if you look at all these other teams that are up there in ERA and everything, I mean, the Red Sox are 15th in ERA, but they're 26th and 25th in whip and in batting average. So, I mean, they're getting really, really lucky with these with the pitches. They don't have a single pitcher in their starting rotation that doesn't have a 4 ERA. I mean, you guys were saying about Milwaukee, like Milwaukee added. Yeah, Milwaukee has three guys with ERAs under 3. I mean, come on. They're a team that can actually play in the playoffs. They're built for the playoffs. The Red Sox right now aren't. And I don't want them trading away all their young talent now that they're finally starting to get a minor league system. I think what Bloom is doing, I think he's building something, and I think you weren't going to go out and just go get Rizzo and Kimbrel and all of a sudden be, you know, back up in the top 5 for make it the World Series.
Okay, so Matt, look, yeah. Okay, so listen, everyone knows in the long term they have work to do. Agreed. You're telling me they couldn't have done more at this deadline than they did?
They probably could have got a little bit more. Yes, I'm not. I wish they did a little bit more at the deadline. I'm not saying I don't wish they didn't.
Okay, so listen, yeah, I'm just saying, but Matt, you got to stop talking because again, no, really, I mean, it's just hard to have a conversation.
You talk, I talk. You talk, I talk.
No, but it is. There's truth to it. You just can't keep going. Make your point and stop. Holy crap, it is. It's annoying. So look, here's what I'll tell you. The argument is not, is the long term more important than the short term? The long term is. That was apparent from day one. This one's really starting to piss me off. It's driving me crazy because people are trying to justify this. The long term has been more important than the short term for the long haul. Can they at least put a little into the short term? A little bit. They held Sale out from this series completely, and they're not going to pitch him against the Yankees either.
No, it's almost like how they handled the deadline. They're too rigid. We have a plan at the beginning of the year. We won't deviate, regardless of what their record and position was. I said this, Jones, when going back, like right after the deadline when Mike was here. It's almost like Chaim Bloom looked at it like an annoyance. We're in first place.
It's like
anomaly.
We're good.
Yeah. No.
Error. Cannot compute.
Yeah.
Right.
And it feels like they're doing the same thing with Chris Sale. Nope. Set for Baltimore versus Texas. No, if he's good and he's ready to go, this is your ace. Tampa, Yankees, that's who you want him pitching against.
Well, and the other thing that is another factor in this is, and I made the mistake too, but the caller said, yeah, I wish they had done more at the deadline. They haven't done anything yet. Schwarber hasn't even gotten on the field. The one move they made is for a guy who's damaged goods. Do you understand that? So if you want to talk about protecting minor leaguers, I like the profile of the kid they gave up. You should be pissed at the Schwarber trade. He's a 19-year-old right-hander who's 6'1", 175 pounds or whatever it is, but he's going to fill out. He'll get up to 200 pounds for sure, at a minimum, I think. And even so, his strikeout to walk in the minor leagues is good. All of it's pretty good. And you gave up for a guy who can't even get on the field?
I don't really believe the whole farm system thing. Like, Dave Dombrowski made trades every year. He warped the whole farm system. There was nothing left. At least he would add pieces somehow without prospects. Chaim Bloom has prospects now and is too afraid to make a deal. Like, that's maddening. Like, I'm not holding out hope for the 6'1 kid who they dealt for Schwarber. Like, I trade those guys 10 times out of 10. If you told me you wanted to protect Cassis, I get that. Fine, he's your top prospect. Fine. I'd move him in the right trade, but fine. A 19-year-old, 6'1", 190-pound kids, trade him for talent now. I do that every year.
Oh, gosh, it's so frustrating again. You know, they should have done more at the deadline. They haven't done anything yet, Pac-Man. They haven't done anything yet. Schwarber hasn't gotten on the field.
Oh, well, you're going to hear in updates, though. He's getting closer.
I mean, down
the groin, did he?
So this is the part that is most frustrating if you're a fan. And forgive me for going over here, Jimmy. But you know what? I'll hold it. Jones will give you the headlines. We'll come back. We'll continue with your calls. We're going to get back to the Patriots this hour, too. But it'll be Red Sox and Patriots, really, for the balance of the program.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.